Sorry about my voice, but it's a progression of my my cold from bad to worse. So I'm going to tell you about a seeding rate study that we did today in support of an organic dairy project that we have going on. And so I do want to acknowledge my co-authors, Sarah Hunt, who's my graduate student, and Dr. Griggs from West Virginia University. And so this is a conceptual model of the dairy project. And so what we were going to do is use producers' grass pastures and then replace some of their pasture with birdsfoot trefoil pasture and look at milk production, look at some of the environmental benefits that accrue from both the more digestible forage, birdsfoot trefoil, as well as the tannins that it contains in terms of soil mineralization of nitrogen and better nitrogen use efficiency in the animal, as well as looking at cheese that was produced from the milk of these cows and the economic benefits. So that's the bigger picture. And then we did the seeding rate study. We were interested in higher seeding rates because we were kind of under the gun, for one thing, to get our study established. And the hypothesis was that if we used a much higher seeding rate than the standard, that it would improve organic birdsfoot trefoil establishment. And so this is a graphic depicting the levels of the experimental design. So we had four replications, and then layered on top of that, within each replication, we had a spring and a fall seeding. And then within each of those, we had a cover crop or no cover crop or companion crop. And then within each of those, we had four seeding rates. And so the recommended seeding rate in pounds per acre is 6 pounds per acre for birdsfoot trefoil, pure live seed. And we went down as low as 3, and then we tripled it to 18, and then we went all the way up to 30 pounds per acre. So that's a ridiculously high seeding rate, but we had accidentally planted at 30 pounds per acre on a 2.5 acre pasture of a cooperator. It was a heavy clay soil, and it was flood irrigated, and we had a bad planter, and so it was all over with before we could do anything about it. And we had a beautiful stand. And we had a beautiful stand that year that we had planted in the spring. And so, you know, that's a pretty strong thing. You wanna follow up on that, especially if you need to get establishment on an organic farm. And then the idea of the cover crops, if you're not going to be able to use herbicides, producers want to know if they should replace herbicides then with a companion crop. So here are the details of the study in text. We planted it in 2010, and we were on certified organic research land at the university. It was an irrigated site. The spring planting was June 18th. The autumn planting was September 16th, which is about a month later than we would have liked. But we had good weather, and so it took well. And then the companion crop was J organic oats planted at 1.5 bushels per acre, which was the recommended rate. And I told you what the seeding rates were. We used Norsen birdsfoot trefoil. The individual plots, these guys over here, I don't have a pointer, were 9 by 18 feet. And we clipped them twice in 2010 just to remove weeds and oats from the site. And then we harvested twice in 2011 and 3 times in 2012. So in 2011, we waited until the birdsfoot trefoil started to flower, until it switched to reproductive growth. And so we harvested on the 24th of June and the 26th of August. And then in 2012 and 2013, the beginning of June, the middle of July, and the end of August. And then we assessed forage nutritive value with NIRS. And so I wanted to show you photographs of the plots, typical of the plots, at the recommended seeding rate. So this is 6 pounds pure live seed per acre. And these were taken June 1st, the year after planting. And so on the left side, we have with a cover crop. And on the right side, we have no cover crop. And so a lot of the green on the right side is weeds, but there's actually more bird's foot trefoil without the cover crop than with bird's foot trefoil. It's not recommended to use a cover crop with bird's foot trefoil, but it did suppress the weeds very effectively. The fall planting is on the upper half, and then the spring planting is on the lower half. So this is what 6 pounds per acre look like, and this is what 18 pounds per acre look like. So I won't show you the extremes, but you can see that having more, three times more seed with the cover crop there in the upper left did make an appreciable difference in the amount of bird's foot trefoil that we had in the spring following planting, even in that fall with a cover crop planting. And so then I'll show you yield data so that we can quantify some of these observations. This is yield for years 1, 2, and 3. On the bottom is the seeding rate in pounds. No, it's in kilograms now, pure live seed per hectare. And forage dry matter production in kilograms per hectare on the left vertical axis. So what you can see in 2011 is that there was a significant effect of cover crop. And also that the optimal seeding rate was the 18 pounds pure live seed per acre without a cover crop. So in blue we have the spring planted plots, and in red the autumn planted plots, and then the dotted lines are with the companion crop. So a pretty strong effect of companion crop suppressing yield in that first year. However, in years 2 and 3, all of that extra seed was for nothing because the yield has completely caught up. Basically, from 6 to 30 pounds per acre, we don't see any differences, some minor things. And so if your concern is that first year, as ours was in the organic seeding rate, or in the organic dairy study, then it was worth it, but we wouldn't recommend going to a very high rate just generally. I did want to show you just one data set of nutritive value, and this is at the very first harvest, June 24th, so about a month after those photographs were taken, we took our first harvest. And so again, across the bottom is the seeding rate and forage nutritive value parameters and percentages on the vertical axis. The only thing that, and this is with standard errors, and so the only thing that changed significantly was this non-fibrous carbohydrate, the third thing listed there on the right. It's the green squares, and it actually decreased with seeding rate, and so I think what's happening there is, and honestly, I think that non-fibrous carbohydrate might be the untold story of bird's foot trefoil, because what we find is that in comparison with alfalfa, we have more non-fibrous carbohydrate. We know that animals are more productive on bird's foot trefoil, you know, given the same dry matter intake. And I think it's because in those stems, we have a lot of accessible carbohydrates in there amongst those secondary cell walls. And so with the higher planting rate, we had more skinny stems, and so less fiber and less non-fibrous carbohydrate, at least. Okay, so then when we look at the mean yield for the whole 3 years, on the left is the spring planted plots, and on the right is the autumn planted plots. And you can see there is, and the red is with a companion crop, the blue is without, and there is still an effect of that first year hit on yield due to the oat companion crop. And then in that third year, although we didn't separate plants and look at the types of weeds or the number of weeds, in the third year we did look at weed cover early in the spring as the bird's foot trefoil was the buds were coming out of the crowns. And we saw what you would expect to see, which is a trend toward higher cover in bird's foot trefoil, which is the top solid lines with increasing seeding rate up to that 18 pounds pure live seed per acre, and a trend toward decreasing weed cover, which is the lower dotted lines. But you can also see a detrimental effect of that really high seeding rate. In fact, we had more weed cover in the autumn planted plots at the highest seeding rate. So I think that's due to intra-plant competition. So then I wanted to put it back into the context of the organic dairy study. So this is an aerial or a satellite view of one of the cooperators' farms, and the fields outlined in red are the two that we used for the study. So on the left and in the inset is the grass pasture that he had already had established, and then we established the bird's foot trefoil in another 10-acre pasture right next to it, and then using portable fencing, electric fencing, we divided it, just put laneways up the center of the grass and the bird's foot trefoil, and then had enough breaks for 6 weeks of grazing, moving the dairy cows every 12 hours. And so we had 9 cows from his herd on grass and 9 cows on bird's foot trefoil, and so then they would graze one of these breaks every 12 hours. And then after they were adjusted, we started taking milk data. We also took intake data using rising plate meters. And I want to show you the bird's foot trefoil pasture that was established on this farm the year after it was planted. So it was planted that first week, I think, of August or the last week of July in 2011, and this was photographed in June of 2012. And that is a beautiful stand of bird's foot trefoil, but he had a nicely drained soil. He had good sprinkler irrigation. He was able to clip weeds after the weeds and the trefoil came up in the fall, and so he did everything right, and it all worked. And this was planted at about 20 pounds pure live seed per acre, so closest to that optimal 18. And so then the last thing that I wanted to show you was the milk production that we got from the bird's foot trefoil in 2012 and 2013. So what you're looking at is two dates on which we took milk production at the end of the first rotation. So as the cows became adjusted, then we started taking milk production data in both years. And then the break is showing you the second rotation through the pasture and continuing to take milk production. So the dates are not exactly the same on the 2 years. We started a little earlier in 2013. But we did also succeed in getting significantly higher milk production from the bird's foot trefoil. And I mean, we're all forage scientists. We know it's not a fair fight, right? You put up bird's foot trefoil against a grass and you should get higher milk production. And so it was my biggest concern was getting it established. So that's it. Thanks.
Any questions for Jennifer? Sure. Jennifer, just a question about winter hardiness or tolerance to cold temperature and variety differences. Do you have any sense of where the limits of trefoil would be from a cold standpoint?
Okay, for posterity, Dave Hanaway asked about winter hardiness and bird's foot trefoil. And boy, from everything that I've read about bird's foot trefoil, it's got terrific winter hardiness. And seed production has to take place north of 42 degrees north latitude to coordinate the seed production. And I believe seed production used to take place in Quebec. And so I don't think winter hardiness is generally an issue with the species, but there are more winter hardy varieties, and that's our concern as well. We use Oberhanstadter and Norsen, which both have good winter hardiness where we are. We've used Pardee, and it hasn't survived as well, but I'm not sure if that's a winter hardiness issue at all or not. And we just haven't had too many opportunities to try other cultivars. We're using Langille right now, which was released by Yosef Papadopoulos, and it seems to have been doing very well, and it's a nice big leaf. So that's what I know about cultivars. Yep.
Jennifer, if you don't mind repeating the question for the recording. compared to the rest of tree fall? Did you see different stages because of the companion crop when it was harvested?
So the question is about the stage of development of the companion crop when it was harvested. So yeah, what we had to do was, when the oats had a seed head on them, we went through and clipped them, and it was about the right time to also clip weeds in the part of the study that didn't have a companion crop. And so you have to try to control that competition with clipping.
I'm sorry. If you have any more questions for Jennifer, please talk to her afterwards. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Jennifer.